been resolved, and we get back to the news. And we go to the former Sin Central MP, Kennedy Ejiapon, who has officially withdrawn from the New Patriotic Party's Thank You Tour. We'll listen to the report by Nanaya Aljima chronicling events leading to the stabbing of one of his supporters.
The student, whose name is being withheld, was stabbed at the right upper part of the rib. Doctors say the victim was stabilized after a minor surgery was conducted on him. He is still on admission at the emergency unit of the Konfanoche Teaching Hospital. According to members of the student group, the first encounter with the alleged vigilante group was at an auditorium in the Bantama constituency, where leadership of the party held a thank you tour. They threatened them with a pistol in attempt to restrain them from chanting Jama songs with the name of Kennedy Ejiapon. One of the guys brandished a gun, and one of our people confronted him on that. He put it away and left. They tried to sack us from the auditorium, but we went to the gallery to continue singing. The young man who spoke on anonymity says the armed men encountered them for the second time after they were gifted cash by an unknown man. He further indicated the armed men took the money from them and once again threatened them with a pistol. He says another gun was brandished and this time fired in the air 8 times. When I confronted the guys, they spoke in Hausa. We tried to reason with them to give us some of the money. They gave us 200 cedis, which was too small for the number we came with. When we tried getting more from them, one brought out a gun and fired 8 times in the air. It was at that point we started running for our lives. One of the guys drew a knife and stabbed my colleague. The matter has since been reported to the police, with bullet shells retrieved from the scene presented to the police. The former MP, Kennedy Ejiapon, visited the victim at the Konfanoche Teaching Hospital on Monday evening. Joy News sources indicate the former MP for Asin Central is likely to withdraw from the thank you tour of the NPP. For Joy News, Nanaya Ojima, Kumasi.
In a video message, the former Asin Central MP, Kennedy Ejiapon, has confirmed his withdrawal from the tour and vowed to pursue justice for the victim.
Yesterday, I want to pull out, or myself and my team want to pull out, because lives are threatened. I don't think I can protect my team enough. So we want out so that Dr. Baumia can do his campaign tour. I admit that he was the flag bearer. So if he's going round and for the sake of unity, he invites and it turns out to be something different, I mean, we just have to stay away for them to do their own thing. So in brief, all I'm saying is my team is pulling out, but I still call for unity in the party. This will not scare me to leave the party. We built the party from 1990 till now. So as for intimidation, they should rest assured that intimidation will not help them. I'm not somebody you can intimidate for me to, you know, stay out of the party. I'm still a party member. I'm calling for unity. And therefore, if I'm preaching for unity, I will not preach violence. I just want everybody, all supporters, to calm down. But I'll make sure justice is done.
Well, a former chief of staff, Kwejuan Pieni, who is also a leading member of the NPP, is urging the national executives of the party to suspend the tour.
Who is that, please? I don't, what are we going to thank them for? For not voting for us or what? So I don't think this is the time for this sort of exercise.
You don't agree with the proponents of this exercise. Why?
Because we have done so miserably in this election. We put up a committee to go around the country to find out what happened. I believe the first thing you have to do after looking at the reasons for this sorry state of the party, you don't go out to say you are going to thank them. The most important thing is to find out what happened. And then within the party, ask yourself, how are we going to tackle these problems, which possibly, which is Okwe committee, I believe, which Okwe committee might have formed the party. If you are not tackling these issues and decide to go out, thank you for what?
Well, moving on to other stories, some members of the Ghana Bar Association have slammed the leadership of the association for allowing the passage of a resolution calling for the reinstatement of suspended Chief Justice Gertrude Tokonu. On Tuesday, the GBA published the reasons behind the resolution voted for by its members present at the mid-year bar conference in a communique. The GBA says the president did not publish a constitutional instrument guiding him in the decision to suspend the Chief Justice. Private legal practitioner Ni Omanye Boni Lamte says the conduct of the GBA on this matter brings the name of the association into disrepute.
The efforts being made to import Article 296C into 146 is unconstitutional. But granted that that is not the position of the law, Article 296C has already been interpreted by the Supreme Court. So the GBA ought to have averted its mind to that interpretation. And I don't want to believe that the members of the GBA who gathered at the Labadi Beach Hotel and took these decisions do not know about the position of the law, the position of Article 296C. As far as the interpretation of the Supreme Court is concerned on that provision, I believe they are very much aware of it. But of course, for whatever reasons but law, they decided to take those decisions. And I think it's rather unfortunate.
Okay.
And it brings the entirety of the legal profession into gross disrepute.
If I recall, we had a media...
Meanwhile, it has now emerged that just a little over 40 out of more than 5,000 lawyers belonging to the GBA voted in favor of the resolution, with less than 100 lawyers present at the time of the mid-year conference. GBA PRO Xavier Kuje also spoke to Evans Mensah on PM Express.
If I recall, we had a media conference was in 2020 when we review our scale of. So it's a regular thing that we do. It's actually supposed to be an annual affair, but sometimes circumstances are like that. We are not able to do it. So one cannot say that it's been organized because of this topical issue that's going on. Because don't forget the suspension of the Chief Justice took place just last year. And we've been advertising this conference for, over 2 weeks before the fixed date for the conference. Now, it wasn't organized just for this. If it was just for this, I believe the community or the resolutions we came up with wouldn't have been in respect of other subject matters apart from this very subject matter. And again, just like any meeting that a group of people attend, when you go, many people will have various different, but at the end of the day, the position they create up by the meeting is what you go by.
But how many members were present at this conference?
I think a little over 200 people registered for the conference. But I must admit, after the time that the resolutions were being passed, not many people were available because it started raining, some had to go. So not many people were available, I must admit.
Well, Deputy Attorney General Dr. Justice Rimsa has also been responding to this revelation.
A matter of nature, which is very constitutional law, and which is affecting governance at the highest level. Someone might have prompted, that a resolution of 45 people, which is going to be attributed to an association of over how many? We are more than 5,000 people. Should be carefully thought before it's even painted on the letterhead of the GB. However, it has happened. Like I've always said,
President John Mahama's administration is under fire as 55 of his appointees failed to comply with a March 31 deadline to declare their assets and liabilities despite a clear directive from the presidency. An investigation by the Fourth Estate revealed that 32% of officials appointed between January 15 and March 18 have ignored the constitutional requirement. Listen to President John Mahama caution his appointees at the Jubilee House at an event on February 18.
There are many around us who are struggling, not just spiritually, but also physically. Some are struggling emotionally, and some are struggling materially. And that's why Christ expects us to share generously. There are others too who have abundant. You ate breakfast, you ate lunch before coming here, and you go back home and there's fufu and light soup and a ponche waiting for you. We must learn to share the burdens of others.
Modesty and prudence must be the guiding principle upon which you, myself, and our Vice President fashion our governance. The people of Ghana will hold us accountable for the trust that they have placed in our hands. It cannot be business as usual. We must be transparent and fair in all our dealings. The anti-corruption institutions will be empowered to investigate and deal with any appointee who falls foul of the law. I expect all of you to begin the process of declaring your assets. The Chief of Staff will announce the cutoff date by which time all eligible appointees should have deposited their assets declaration forms with the Auditor General.
Failure by appointees to declare their assets has drawn sharp condemnation from former Auditor General Daniel Domlevo, who is urging the president to crack the whip on defaulters, warning that failure to act would embolden impunity at the highest levels of government. But before we hear from him, let's get details of what the law says and who makes the list source from the Fourth Estate. Kweku Asante joins me in studio. Kweku, first, what is the law?
So if you look at the asset declaration law, it says that a person who holds office, and that is Section 1, a person who holds office mentioned in Section 3 of the Act shall submit to the Auditor General in written a declaration of all properties or assets owned by him and all liabilities owned by him. The declaration shall be made on the form provided in the Act, and the declaration shall be made by the public officer A, before taking office, B, at the end of every 4 years, and C, at the end of the term of his office, and shall in any event be submitted no later than 6 months of the occurrence of any of the three events above.
Well, who are the defaulters then?
So if you look at this, they have 8 presidential staffers who haven't made the list according to this investigation by the Fourth Estate. For instance, at the presidency, COP retired Nathan Kofibuachi, Director of Operations, has not declared his asset according to this list. Seth Tekpe, the former finance minister, who is now presidential advisor on economy, has not declared. Nana Yaa Jantua, a presidential staffer, has not declared. Samuel Ofosu-Ampofo, the former NDC national chair, has also not declared. He serves at the vice president office as a policy advisor. There are 4 regional ministers and 5 sector deputy ministers. Ernest Bojajemfi, deputy minister of defense. Alassane Suhini, deputy roads minister. Rita Odole-Sowa, deputy minister of local government. John Dumelu, Ayawaso West Wogon MP and deputy food and agri minister. And then there are other 38 persons who are heads of certain state institutions, including the IGP, Christian Tete Yohuno, of the Ghana Police Service, IGP Dr. Adam Buna, Julius Capena, Anthony Sapon of GRE, according to this list submitted to the Fourth Estate by the Audit Service. All these persons are yet to declare their assets.
Well, thank you, Kweku Asante. Now, a former Auditor General, Daniel Domlevo, wants the president to act swiftly.
In my considered opinion, the president should do the needful by dismissing all of them without exception, because the president made a public announcement which was followed by a directive from the Chief of Staff. This is not how to reset a country. If the team that is going to help the president manage the affairs of the country is so indisciplined, they don't have respect for the president, I think the axe must fall immediately. You should clear all of them. There are about 33 million Ghanaians and several capable people who can do the work. So I don't take this lightly at all. And I hope the president does not take it lightly as well. You see, the constitution which actually requested for the declaration, Article 286, which requires that they declare their assets and liabilities to the Auditor General before taking office and after 4 years and when they leave office, does not prescribe any punitive measure, except that under Article 287, non-compliance with the declaration is supposed to be reported to the Commission for Human Rights and Administrative Justice.
Well, Kweku, we're also hearing some appointees say they've actually declared the asset. Do we know who?
Yes, specifically the minister, Deputy Minister for Defense, has posted a receipt that he got from the Ghana Audit Service and says he has indeed done that. And that he, if you look at the date on this receipt, it was done on the 28th of March 2025. The receipt is issued to Mr. Ernest Broja Jemfi as Deputy Minister for Defense. He gives his address as a square. The telephone number is given. The witness was Fatau Sadiq Abubakar, and the occupation is a public servant of that witness. And so, according to this receipt that has been posted by Broja Jemfi, the Deputy Minister, he claims he has indeed declared his asset, and the Ghana Audit Service would have to regularize their data.
Right. Thank you so much, Kweku Asante. You're still listening to the Midday News. And right about now, we have sports with Muftau Nabila.
The president of the Ghana Football Association, Ketia Kreko, says that it is unfortunate for Insua Truman to pull out of the Ghana Premier League after the football governing body tried to get them to rescind their decision not to participate in the competition. Following the demise of Kumasi Asante Kotoko Nanapole Frimpong in the Ghana Premier League match on February 2, 2025, Insua Truman decided to pull out of the competition because they felt the safety of their players and officials were not guaranteed. The FA tried to convince them, but they insisted that they were going to walk away from participating in the competition.
Thank you very much, Nabila. Now moving on, hundreds of newly posted teachers are threatening to boycott classes when basic schools reopen on May 6 if their delayed salaries are not paid. The teachers who staged a picket at the GES headquarters this morning say they've gone 8 months without any pay since posting in 2024 September. While some have yet to receive their salary, others are still without staff identification numbers, further hindering their formal integration into the service.
We have been to a district level, we have been to a regional level, and we have exhausted all the procedures. We have been, this is not even the first time we are coming to the regional office. This is the third time we are here to find out actually what is happening. The last time when we came here, they gave us an assurance that they are going to work on it. We have been in the house waiting that possibly something good would have happened. But we have waited and waited and waited and nothing happened. Nothing happens. So today we have come here again to actually find out from the director. He should tell us because we are confused. They are telling us that our clearance has expired. And that's what we don't understand. Because we are a group of people. We are a batch together. And we have all been given clearance. So we are here today with our mattresses, everything. We are sleeping here. What is really the matter? Why some of us have been in the system for 9 months, no staff ID, no salary? How do you expect your colleague human being to survive?
And in July, if God permits, I'll be out of rent. So all that we are saying is that the GES, Ministry of Finance, and then the Ministry of Education, whoever has a role to play in this situation, please, they must do that immediately. Else, to be honest with you, personally, when school resumes next week, I am not stepping into the classroom because I don't have any source of living.
Well, the KNUST branch of the Tertiary Education Workers Union of Ghana have also announced an indefinite strike. We can hear from the chairman, Charles Arthur.
The voice of the majority cannot be sidelined by administrative bias of Professor Ahmed Abdullahi Jinapor, the Director General of GTEC. We therefore demand the following: immediate withdrawal of Tewu TUC's appointment as the workers' representative on the KNUSC Governing Council. 2. Immediate recognition of Tewu Ghana.
And just before we head out, the Supreme Court says it has not concluded judgment regarding the injunction of